Betsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Today is really a special day. I can say for my next guest, oh joy, oh profound happiness, a new book. Melissa De La Cruz has done it again. A new book called Afterlife. Melissa, are you there?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Okay, I hear you now. It is so good to have you back on Joy on Paper. The last time you were here, we were talking about, we were talking about a lot of books, Never After and several other books. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So much.
You were here last time we were talking about High School Musical series, Road Trip. That was really great. And as I said then, I remember I told you, oh joy, oh profound happiness, a new book. And that is a little quote from your book, Never After. And I act, and it's hanging over my computer.
Oh, that's so lovely. Hey.
Well, I think it would make just a wonderful T-shirt with that quote on it and go around always talking about your books.
Sounds good.
Of course, you always have new books. You never stop writing.
Too much joy.
That's it. That's the word to use. So the new book is Afterlife. How many worlds will she have to save? And this is a Blue Bloods novel. It is which number is it in the Blue Bloods series?
It's number 8, and it's a little bit of a reboot. Because, the Blue Blood series concluded with novel number 7. But they're back in this new story, and they are waking up in an alternate universe, which is our world in 2020. And there's a pandemic going on. And maybe the vampires are behind it.
Well, that's it. As you said, I think book 7 came out, I don't remember what year, but that was a while back. And we thought we had finished the series, but I'm glad that it's back. It's been reborn, like a vampire.
Exactly. Vampires never die.
Exactly. So tell us about this new and exciting life for the vampires in your universe, because this is explain how the entire Blue Bloods idea came to you and what that represents. Who are the Blue Bloods?
So in the original series, Blue Bloods are the vampires who have been immortal since beginning of time. But in they came over to America on the Mayflower. And the idea of it came from reading an article about about how descendants of the Mayflower have become such people in American society. And it wasn't just people like the Bush family or the Roosevelts. It wasn't just presidents and senators and congressmen who could trace their ancestry back to the Mayflower. It was a lot of celebrities and singers and people like Oprah Winfrey could trace their ancestry to the Mayflower, too. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what is the reason why all these people are so prominent and rich and famous is because they're vampires. And so in my series, the vampires came over to the New World on a Mayflower, and they've been in a secret coven forever. You know, they don't let anybody know that they exist. But then there's a new danger, and there's the biggest, baddest vampire of them all, Lucifer, is alive again and threatening them. So in the original series, they defeat Lucifer. And spoiler, they defeat Lucifer. And in the new reboot, they wake up and Lucifer is the mayor of New York City. So they've got to take him down all over again.
Oh, boy. Well, I think the parallels are interesting, to put it mildly. Now, what's your fascination with New York City and the people who made New York City?
I was a New Yorker. It's the city that I lived in for the majority of my adult life, and I was a journalist. I covered fashion and high society, And so I was exposed to that world, and I wanted to write about it, not just in my reporting, but in fiction. So a lot of the background and blue bloods came from being a reporter and being part of that whole milieu. And in the 90s, New York, you know, it was a little bit of a Sex and the City era. And I thought, wouldn't it be so fun to have this glitzy backdrop of New York and its nightclubs and its, you know, kind of hierarchy. And, you know, it's the incredibly sophisticated teenagers who are jaded at such a young age. And what if I put that all in a book and called it Blue Bloods? And that's kind of where it came from. You know, years of reporting on that scene and kind of, you know, firsthand, you know, seeing what life in that 1%. And wanting to write about it, yeah.
And, of course, and you actually went out to the Hamptons and partied?
Do I have to answer that?
As a reporter, you were invited into some of these poshy parties?
Yeah, you know, because famous and rich people like more than more attention, and they wanted to be written about, absolutely. So they invited the press. And now, you know, now they invite everybody in through their Instagrams. You know, they broadcast their lives on their own. They don't really need us anymore. But back then, you know, it was kind of a fun, it was a fun gig because we would go to these parties and kind of make fun of it. You know, you got to write about satire.
Yeah.
That world.
As a reporter, and you were invited to some of these posh parties and had to dress nicely. Your clothes were tax deductible?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask my accountant.
Maybe. You know, that's not bad. You know, as a writer, if you do traveling, you can tax deduct it. So I think if you go to a posh party and you have to have a designer outfit, they should let you take it, you know, take it off your taxes.
I'll definitely tell my accountant that.
Yeah, definitely tell them. And now, of course, well, you know, in a way, it's sort of funny. Many people, with the state of the world as it is today, many people would think this is actually fact. I mean, that a lot of the people in power are vampires.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a conspiracy theorist everywhere, right?
It could be. It could be. Now, of course, these books, the entire series, are geared for what age group? Teenagers?
Yeah, teenagers. You know, young adults is typically 12 and up. So, yeah. You know, 7th graders, early readers might be able to enjoy it. It's a fun adventure filled with romance and action and blood. And for the kids today, you know, it's set in 2020, so a lot of my readers who are teenagers who read the book early, they're called beta readers in the industry. A lot of my teen beta readers really loved it because they saw their lives reflected in it. They liked that my characters were going to Zoom school, that they had to deal with the reality of masks and the pandemic. And my adult readers did not like that part. They did not want to read about the pandemic in a fantasy novel. So it was really interesting to see the different reactions from the kids who liked seeing the lives that they're living in now, you know, reflected in the book, and adults who just want to escape. I did not want to be reminded of the reality.
Well, of course, you are able to capture a young mind in many ways. Perhaps you are still, you're still young at heart, back there in algebra class. And so you're able to understand kids. You certainly did that in Road Trip. I thought Road Trip was one of the best books for kids. It just captured me. I loved that whole storyline of the High School Musical. And it was something that I enjoyed so much. And I know that kids did. And now in this, as you said, it's a little bit more for teenagers. But it's not too heavy. What's your interest in, let's say, when you got the idea of vampires, had you already been interested in vampires?
Definitely. I was a big reader of horror novels and fantasy novels as a teenager. I loved Anne Rice and her Chronicles of the Vampires. That was a huge, huge influence. And I loved Stephen King and his horror novels. Salem's Lot was a book that kept me up way late into the night, and it scared me to death. I kept looking out the window to see if there was a vampire floating outside my window trying to come in and attack me. So, yeah, I was always really interested in vampires, definitely.
It's hard with you because you have so many layers of your writing. You're doing this, you're doing that. When you first came out with the idea, to whom did you present it?
To my agent, you know, and he liked the idea, and then we presented it to the acquiring editor, and they loved it, and the editor who bought the book said, you know, it'd be great if we did 19 books, and I said, oh my goodness, you know, I would settle for 7. but if you count all the Blue Bloods books and the graphic novels and the spin-offs, we definitely made it to 19, so that was a huge, huge surprise. You know, I never expected that, but, you know, you always hope you can write your series forever.
You know, you're writing so many different things. You have, it's funny, you're writing, on the one hand, vampires, and then the musical books. How do you balance yourself? Do you concentrate on one book at a time, or are you able to sort of do multiple books and go from one book to another?
Yeah, I work on a lot of different projects at the same time, but they're not all at the same place. So right now, for instance, I have copy edits, which is book is completely pretty much done. It's almost set, you know, it's almost to design, where it's designed as a book. So that's like very far along in the process. And then I have a couple of books that I'm doing outlines for, and a couple of books that I'm in first draft, and then a couple of books that are in revision.
Oh, my.
So I would say I'm in lots of different places in the publishing timeline for a lot of different books. And, you know, I really do think that it's the way that I keep, that I deal with writer's block. You know, as Neil Gaiman says, there's no such thing as writer's block. Writers make up stuff all the time. and we've kind of gotten this convenient, you know, description for not working, which is, oh, you have writer's block. But I think I deal with, you know, maybe finding an obstacle in a project by starting something else. So that's why I work on a lot of different things.
When you start, like, the editing process, do you discover that you're, like, using one word over and over, or that you, how do you approach the editing process? How do you examine, once you've got that first draft done, how do you examine a book and decide what you're going to change and how you're going to change it?
Well, when you work with a publisher, you have an editor. So my editor will go through the book and write an edit letter, which is, you know, kind of like a critique of your work and, you know, about how to make it better. And then, you know, from there, there's also line edits. So like you mentioned, you know, if there's a word that you're using too much, usually the copy editor, which is not, you know, your acquiring editor, copy editor is just looking at copy, looking at grammar, looking at, you know, timeline, if the timeline works out, and stuff like that. They'll flag, you know, a word that I use too much. Sometimes it's like shrugged, oh, she's shrugging too much, you know, you want to change that. So there's a lot of people involved in the editing process who, you know, kind of help create the final version. There's even editors who look at whether, you know, your words are stacked. Like sometimes you'll have a paragraph and each line in the paragraph will start with "and," you know, just because of how the sentence is wrapping around. And they'll say, oh, this is a stack of "ands," that looks ugly. We got to break it up, and they'll put in, you know, little spaces so that it doesn't stack like that, because it's also a visual medium. Like, you want to look at the book and not see those things that distract you from the story.
So how are you finding book promotion now that the pandemic is over? Are you doing events? What are you doing?
I'm not sure events are completely back. We've had some book fairs that are back. So Y'all Fest and Y'all West, which are two young adult book festivals that I help run, are back. I'm not sure if book tours in person are back. I did a signing, my first signing in real life for Never After. So I think we're slowly getting back there.
I think the opportunity to meet your fans when you do have that is it's fun.
Absolutely. Everybody has missed it. I forgot that it was so nice to meet your readers, that you're not just writing to avoid, you know, you're writing for people. And when they show up and they have your book and they tell you that how much they loved it and, you know, how it inspired them. I mean, that's why we're authors. That's why I'm an author. It's really kind of marvelous to have that connection.
Your family must be really happy with you and proud of you.
I hope so. At home, I'm just mom, so.
And particularly, I suppose, with the Disney connection, that was fun.
Yes, so much fun.
Do they give you, like, special tickets to, when you're at Disneyland or Disney World? You get VIP treatment?
Always.
One of the many reasons to be picked up by Disney.
I don't know if they give that to everybody, so I don't know if I was supposed to say that.
Oh, well, that not that many people are going to be great writers like you, I assure you. They are very particular about the writers that they use, and you have to be really good to be writing for Disney. And I know you are. Your writing is excellent. It's lots of fun. But I must say that what I love about the books, I love the look at New York. I love that. It just, for me, any book that's set in New York or that talks about New York is fun. And you are able to really paint a picture of New York in various times.
Oh, thank you. My favorite city.
Once you have been to New York or lived in New York, there is something special about it, and we hope that it'll be back, back the way it was, because it normally it's a fun city to visit. And but there's just so many aspects in this book that I love. Whether it's Shuler eating M&Ms, some of the other characters, really a fine group of characters that you've written in these books.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it must
you're
have been
a little part of me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about when you're an author, the characters do become a part of you. And I think the more they are a part of you, the more the readers feel that and appreciate the characters.
Absolutely.
Which character would you say you're closest to in personality?
I'm trying to think who's the most like me. I think in the Blue Blood series, Oliver was a lot like me at first because he's kind of a misfit. He's very sarcastic. And nothing really impresses him too much, so maybe he's a lot like me. But they all have a little bit of me in them. I definitely gave Skylar a lot of my depression and anxiety and sadness when I was a teenager, and I think that's why a lot of teens relate to her. I forget how much being a teenager was really hard and painful, and I put a lot of that in Skylar, which is why a lot of kids can relate to her really well.
Done a beautiful job with this book. It's really great. Well, you're continuing on now with the saga, right? It's not, this is not the last book.
It is not the last book. I've just finished writing the ninth book and the sequel to this book. Story goes on.
I love that at the end of the book you make some acknowledgments, and that's so important that you remember all the people who, and of course the company that has given you such an opportunity to write these books that are really so wonderful for kids and young people. So again, as I always say, and I really, there aren't very many authors that I think of every single day, but definitely I do you, because when you talk about joy, oh joy, oh profound happiness, a new book, And that's certainly true for me, and it's certainly true in all the books that you write. So again, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I think you're terrific and a wonderful, wonderful writer. And your website is?
Lissa-delacruz.com.
Okay, so people, you can go there and find out more, and also I'm sure follow on Facebook. And the reboot of the series, The Blue Bloods, is really great, and the book is called After Life. How many worlds will she have to save? And you will find out if you get this book. It's available online and wherever books are sold. And I'm so happy that you were on the program again. Melissa De La Cruz, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now. Bye. All right. If you're interested in vampires, well, if you're interested in New York, you know, New York became a character in this book. Bye-bye now. Bye.